Speaking of football, our friend Dave Goldberg joins us, veteran NFL writer. Talk about it. It's finally here. Week one of the NFL season kicks off Thursday. Defending Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks take on the Green Bay Packers. And joining us is Dave to talk about it. Dave, the preseason can't end soon enough for any of us here in Canada, and I'm sure it's even more so south of the border. Maybe just talk a little bit about the fact that, thank goodness, it's done.
Well, you know what? I think it's I started covering the NFL in 1984, and even then it was boring. But now it's when you've got people, it's not just the preseason. It's just totally, I think at some point the talk about the NFL is somehow going to lessen the interest. I mean, it goes on 365 days a year and 24 hours a day practically, especially on, you know, on the various sports networks we have here in the States. It just never stops. And at some point, I mean, I know there are gamblers and I know there are fantasy league players, but I can't turn it on. I can't listen to the same stuff over and over.
Well, and that's the repetitiveness of it is true, Dave. And a lot of people make the same comment in this country about hockey, but when you get into it again, it's like, especially the NFL season, which is so short, it's all this talk about a four-month season. No wonder people are frothing at the mouth when they finally play a regular season game.
Yeah, and I think, for example, there are certain things, not only that, but the subject matter is always the same. One of the interesting things that happened today is that the Oakland Raiders announced that Derek Carr, the rookie, would be the starting quarterback. But we hardly heard about Derek Carr nationally during the preseason. I know who he is. He was a high draft pick. But nobody pays attention to the Raiders. So, you know, the fact that Derek Carr beat out Matt Schaub, who they picked up from Houston, as the starting quarterback, to me is interesting, especially since I hope he doesn't get beat up like his brother did, David Carr, back in the first year of the Houston Texans when I think he was sacked 72 times. That's always the danger for a rookie quarterback on a bad team. It's not a good way to start your career. But, you know, that's another problem I find is that we spend our time talking about the same thing. God knows, you know, Tim Tebow in his day and Michael Sam this year. And Michael Sam certainly sociologically is an interesting story. But, you know, after a while, you know, let him try and play football.
Dave Goldberg is with us. That's a great point, Dave. Veteran NFL writer. I'm Roger Lajoie, Sportsnet tonight as week one of the NFL season kicks off. Let's stay with the Derek Carr story then for a second, Dave, and chat about just the fact of rookie quarterbacks. We get spoiled a couple of years ago because we saw some phenomenal rookie quarterbacks, Luck and RG3, break it into the league, and we sort of assumed that was going to be the trend. There wasn't going to be a rookie starter until Derek Carr made his way through there. Is that more of a case of maybe the desperation of Oakland, or what do you think about the trends of, you know, maybe it is better to give these rookies a little bit more time?
Well, you look at what Jacksonville is doing. And, you know, Blake Bortles looked very good in the preseason. I watched Blake Bortles a couple of times on television after he last year and in their bowl game after he became a hot commodity. And I saw things that were obviously demonstrated his talent. I also saw things that demonstrated that he should sit and learn. You know, he made mistakes that you're not going to get away with in the NFL. And I think that, yeah, we may be getting back to that, which is probably a good thing. The idea that Robert Griffin, in fact, that, as you know, has regressed a bit in Washington. He got hurt, and his style is conducive to getting hurt because he's scrambling. Now he's got a new coach and offensive coordinator. Jay Gruden is trying to get him to stay in the pocket, which isn't his style, and he's really not the same explosive quarterback he was as a rookie. Now, you know, maybe if he had sat for a year, he certainly had a great year and got the Redskins to the playoffs and was rookie of the year, but it was at the cost of ligaments in his knee, and I think, you know, and Luck came out a very sophisticated product who played in the pro system at Stanford. He's the exception, just as Peyton Manning was the exception. If you look at Eli Manning, he sat for half his rookie year, and he was terrible when they put him in the lineup. They were a playoff team. They had Kurt Warner. This was the Giants in 2004. They had Kurt Warner, and they were 5-3, and Coughlin, for whatever reason, decided, I'm going to go with Eli. And he went with Eli, and I think they went 1-7 the rest of the year, but Eli ended up being the quarterback on two Super Bowl winners. So, you know, sometimes it doesn't, hurt to sit a guy. And I think that you know, the whole Johnny Manziel hype, he was, you know, what rookie quarterback have we heard about, Johnny Manziel? The guy who played well in training camp was Teddy Bridgewater, and yet he's sitting for Matt Cassel, who's an experienced, if not, you know, not, he's not a star quarterback, but he's an experienced quarterback. And if Teddy Bridgewater sits behind him for a year, that's fine. You know, the same obvious thing in Jacksonville, they don't think they can win a title this year. So Blake Bortles is sitting behind Chad Henne, who is just a journeyman, but he started enough games and he has enough experience that he'll at least give you some confidence. He really belongs as a backup, and next year Bortles will be the starter and Henne will be the backup, presumably, or somebody else will be the backup. And I think that's the way they used to go. I mean, you know, I think Aaron Rodgers, who may be the best quarterback in the league, is in that position because he spent 3 years sitting behind Brett Favre.
And a mentor, sure. Yeah.
And, you know, well, you know, it turned out not being that much mentor. I don't think Brett.
No, Brett, yeah, Brett was, yeah, well. That's the wrong word. Brett was just playing all the time. A little
but
different.
I think but he watched and he listened to the coaches and he practiced and he learned what it was. And the day he stepped on the field as a starter, he was a great quarterback. And, yeah, I think what was his second year as a starter, he won the Super Bowl. And I think that's. You know, normally that should be the case. I think one of the reasons it may get back to that is there's the change in the salary structure. You know, until the new contract, which I lose track of time. What is it now? In its third year, rookie quarterbacks taken in the first round, were getting astronomical sums. You know, more, they were often the highest paid player on their teams. And, you know, you almost had to play them because they were getting all that money. You don't want that money sitting on the bench. Now they're back to at least they're getting a lot of money, but they're getting, more reasonable amounts. So you can allow them to sit without saying, oh, geez, I'm paying my money for a guy who's just holding a clipboard. And hopefully, you know, down the line, the league will go back to developing its quarterbacks rather than throwing them in. You know, obviously there are exceptions. Not only were there Luck and Griffin, but there's also obviously Russell Wilson.
Sure, could play right away, so you play them right away. But they're few and far between. I agree with you there. You've got to distinguish between the trend and the individual. And I guess each individual case has to be. But especially, I think, on week one, Dave, there's any doubt at all, you got to side with experience over a rookie. It's week one of the pressure in the National Football League season. You kidding me?
Well, it's also, for example, Manziel. I'm not sure Manziel might be the next Tebow. I mean, you know, there are people, opinions divided whether he's really an NFL star or a starter or even a starter. Some people think he'll be great. One who doesn't, oddly enough, is the guy who he resembles, Fran Tarkenton. You've got to go an awful a long way back to remember Fran Tarkenton. But if he's like anybody, he's a lot like Fran Tarkenton. I don't know if Fran Tarkenton, with his style and lack of size, could play today in the NFL. I'm sure he's a Hall of Famer, so he most likely could, but it was a different era back then, and he was really the only running quarterback in those days.
Dave Goldberg is with us, veteran NFL writer Roger Lajoie, Sportsnet Tonight on the Sportsnet Radio Network Tonight. Hi to everyone, all our affiliates listening in on Sportsnet 590 The Fan here in Toronto. Zach Ellis talks some college football with us later in this hour, and John Molinaro on TFC coming up. Reach the show anytime on Twitter at the Raj 590 as we continue our conversation with our friend Mr. Goldberg. Injuries, of course, are always a factor. Yeah. It is nice to see Rob Gronkowski saying he's ready and can play Sunday in Miami, and it is good, I guess, that Wes Welker is returning to practice, but still needs to be cleared for contact. There's no way to try to, you know, predict them, Dave. There's no way to avoid them, but you just hope guys can stay healthy, which is another reason that maybe the preseason be too long, eh?
Yeah, but you know what? The regulars don't play very much. I don't think did Gronkowski even play it down? I'm not sure. I think he played a little bit. But the fact is that you know, that's why when people ask me who I think is going to win, I say, depends on who gets hurt. And that's always the X factor. That's why picking is so hard, because the league is so, there's so much parity that everybody has injuries. It depends on who at what position. Teams can get killed. They may not get big-time injuries. If they get the quarterback hurt, obviously they're in trouble, most of them. You also get killed if you have the injuries at the same position because you had the depth isn't there in most cases. You know, suppose you lose two or three defensive linemen. Actually, the Patriots did last year, and I think it's one of the reasons they didn't go all. They lost Vince Wilfork. They lost a whole bunch of defensive linemen. And you can't predict them because people are always going to get hurt. There, to me, and this is just a perception, there seem to have been fewer in this preseason, fewer to key players anyway.
No, which is good news for sure. I don't know what to make of the fact that Jerry Jones is actually being realistic in his assessment of the Dallas Cowboys. Usually it's the other way around. He seems to be eternally optimistic, but he made some comments today basically saying the Cowboys are facing an uphill battle, and that's not really a scoop, and I think most people expect the Cowboys to struggle. The fact that at least the owner's showing some patience before the season even starts maybe is a good thing, but boy, it would appear, Dave, the Cowboys got a lot of work ahead of them.
Well, the first thing they should do is replace the general manager and coach, which is the same, who's the same guy, the guy you just talked about.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's owner, GM, and coach. And if you look at that, you look at the Cowboys, they've won nothing. They've won one playoff game since, I believe it's 1990, since they won their last Super Bowl. And the reason is the same. It's Jerry, ever since he got rid of Jimmy Johnson, or they mutually parted ways. They did win a Super Bowl with Barry Switzer, but those were Jimmy's players and Jimmy's team and Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith and all the rest of those guys. Since then, Jerry has picked coaches who are just, you know, who are not strong. He's been his own general manager or his son, you know, with his son's help. And as I say, the coaches are usually guys who should be coordinators. He's changed coordinators now. He's done everything. He's done the drafting. And they haven't, they're just not a good team. They're at best a mediocre team over the last almost 20 years. And it's not going to change, I don't think. It's what I call the crucial owner position until Jerry gets out of it.
Yep. Alex Smith gets a new deal in Kansas City. I'm sure the Chiefs are relieved to have that distraction out of the way. You don't want your quarterback in any kind of controversy. It looked like it was going to go into the regular season. It's a lot of money, but clearly both sides are comfortable with the fit.
Well, you know what? Alex Smith is one of those guys. Everybody talks about it, and maybe it's Twitter, maybe it's whatever it is. But you see these discussions of who are the top five quarterbacks, ESPN ranks quarterbacks. That somebody, they were talking about somebody who was a top 15 quarterback. Oh, wow, that's no good if he's 15th. Well, you know what? I think it was Alex Smith when he signed. But you know what? Alex Smith is one of these guys. I mean, he's the old game manager. But if you have a good defense, you have a decent running game, they've got Jamaal Charles, and you play solid football, if your quarterback doesn't make a lot of mistakes and he can make some plays as Alex Smith can do, that's fine. And everybody says, well, you know, Alex Smith didn't do it in San Francisco. Well, he came pretty close. He was the quarterback and they lost a championship game. They were upset at home in a championship game in overtime by the Giants. So, you know, he was seconds away, really, or a few minutes away from going to the Super Bowl. You know, you can argue all you want about the amounts of money, but that's what quarterbacks do. They get paid.
Yeah, you get paid indeed. What do you think the situation unfolds now for Michael Sam? Not on the Rams practice roster. Had certainly a decent preseason. And I think, you know, the situation has been handled well by everybody, and for obvious reasons, people are looking at his status. But how do you think this plays itself out? There's report the Montreal Alouettes of the CFL will offer him a deal if he can't do something in the NFL. But one would think he would pursue every opportunity in the NFL still.
I think there is still a reluctance. Anybody else with his kind of performance in training camp would have at least been signed to a practice squad. The Rams had a problem in that they needed to keep some linebackers on a practice squad. And Sam doesn't play special teams. I understand that. The problem is, if you remember the comments Tony Dungy made about this, him being a distraction, there are too many coaches who, I don't think it's homophobia. I think we're past that. I think most coaches would be glad to have a guy who can play. But when you're talking about a guy who's a marginal player, whose main skill, which is it's certainly one that's desired, is pass rushing. He's not a, you know, he doesn't play special teams. He's not a great run stopper. So he's a situational pass rusher in a 4-3 defense. And there are half the teams in the league play the 4-3. I think a lot of them would take Michael Sam and certainly put him on the practice squad, but they coaches are wary of anything that will draw the media in. And I think there was one of the things that happened late in his tenure in St. Louis was a very inflammatory piece on ESPN, which quoted an anonymous player, which I never do. I never put quotes in a player's mouth about his, quote, showering habits, unquote. And I think it was horrible reporting. I think it was irresponsible. ESPN actually apologized, but I think that put the spotlight back on his sexuality rather than his ability as a football player. And I think all he wants to do is to show that he can try and make an NFL roster. And he did quite well with the Rams, which usually means somebody else would pick him up. I find it interesting that nobody did. And, you know, if the Alouettes give him a chance, great. I just think I think we, the media, are at least partially responsible for this. I think we're the ones who are, you know, who are causing and make coaches nervous. I'm not saying the coaches should be nervous, but coaches don't like people, especially if it's a practice squad player, coming around and talking every day to a player, practice squad player, and writing about him and doing all these, or broadcasting about or doing whatever it is. So I think that's, I'm not saying that's the entire part of it, but I blame us for some of that.